A verse I short thought, somebody told me today, I heard today. I think it's a good vote. Good vote on Megillas Rus. Okay. You know, Shavuot is... We're getting there, yeah? Shavuot, yeah? Yeah, you can... That's the good thing about the Sefer Sa'oim. It gives us an indication where we're up to. Haboisai, Boyaz. Okay, so... after this unexpected visit of Rus, and the night he tells her, you know, we're gonna get married, let me just sort out when we've got to sort out. The next day, he says in Perek Dalet, beginning of Perek Dalet, he says, Boaz says, okay, Bashacha, in the morning he gets up and sorts out all the thing. He goes to Shaul Ir and the Goyel and the whole thing over there with Chalipim and everything, and he gets married to her. And right now, what's really interesting is that it says Bashacha on that very day, and he does all the arrangements and everything, and he gets married to Usna that day. And the emissary is it is a bit interesting, because normally under normal circumstances, Boaz, okay, he's getting married to us. Okay, let's say he's making that decision, and he's going to make the arrangements and the relevant preparations, etc. So he'd say, you know, okay, listen, we're going to get married, fine, good, okay, okay, we've got to arrange caterers, halls, I need to get a new hat. Yeah, that's right, you know, and perhaps, you know, you want a new shetel, perhaps, okay, so wait, we're going to do it quickly, a month time, 2 months time, we're going to get organized, and we're going to make the preparations, the achonos polichas. No, Pashacha, he gets up and he gets everything organized on that day, and they get married, as Chazal teach us, Rus gets married to Boaz on that day. But lo and behold, okay, that's Poshe Pshat in the Poshe, but what's fascinating is the following. Chazal teach us that they got married on that day, and Hashem Nosan Ayron, she's expecting, and on the next day, Chazal teach us, Boaz dies. He dies. They were married for a grand total for one day. So watch out. She was a Nebuch, she was a complete Nebuch. She got married to Boaz, who was a Gadol HaDor, and then she becomes a widow, all that in 24 hours. That's quite incredible, yeah? So from a pauper to a millionaire, and then to a widow, or an almana, all in 24 hours. Must be quite a psychological, it must be quite difficult. But, he dies the next day. She is expecting, and her baby is going to be called. And that child becomes, and the grandchild, and Oved, Yishai, David, Shlomo, and she gets Malchus, she gets royalty. Imagine for 1 minute if Boaz would not have rushed. Imagine for 1 minute if Boaz would not have hurried to get it organized and get it done. What would have happened? He would have died. Next day he was gone. Boaz was lifted that next day. There would have been no Chasana. There would have been no Oived, there would be no Yishai, there would be no David, no Shlomo. Well, there would have been, but it wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been his children, that wouldn't have happened. Just from the hurrying diseases, the fact that he could always delay things. But it teaches us how much he gained by hurrying to do the mitzvah, doing diseases, what was meant to be done, an incredibly important Mosahaska that we see from Boaz's way of dealing with this. Okay, Rabbi, it reminds me, I heard once Chazanish said, I don't remember seeing it in the Sforim. I never saw it in the Igaz Chazanish, I never saw it in the Emunah B'tochen, but apparently Chazanish said, it's a bit negative, but I think there is something to it. A person always has to live with the attitude that today may be my last day. Sounds a bit negative, no? It's a bit depressing, but I can see a bit that subtle, you know, today's my, you know, perhaps today's my, so how are you going to deal with it? You know, take a certain zizus and a certain seriousness in there. Sounds a bit, is it a bit too negative, too depressing?
No.
What's it more say? I don't know.
You mean you're always
always cracking on getting stuff done.
Yeah, so that's the way. That's exactly it. But it sounds so to think every day is a, yeah. So yeah, I heard that apparently the Chazan said every day you have to. Every day you've got and then since you don't know which day it is, you have to assume every day. True, so it is a Chazal, yes, it is. But
is that what you're thinking?
You have to do tshuva one day before it's your death, and you don't know what day you're going to be in. So now, they also apparently the Chazan Yishol said, every day you have to think that might be my last day. Every daf, you have to assume it's your last daf. I can imagine that's your last daf. And then and then one more thing, which I forgot what it is. But that's what I'm saying. So like upon the point being, diseases and that. What?
And he died a tzaddik because he's called all his sins are forgiven on his
wedding day. Right. Oh yeah, that's true as well. Yeah, that's right. Chosn Mochlin and Karvonos. Very good. I never thought of that. Very nice. Okay, Rabbosai. Okay. Seif Zayin in, excuse me, Seif Vav, Simon Tovkuf Nuntes. And today I'm really going to try. We're going to try to complete the Simon. We're going to try. But we're not committing, but we're going to try.
I want to talk more than 5 minutes.
No, okay. Seif Vav, Im Yesh Ovel Be'ir, Rabbosai, if there's an Ovel in the city, a mourner in the city, Hoylech Balayla, if there's an ovel, the ovel, the mourner, lost Nebuch, his close relative over the last few days, he goes by night to shul, v'gam b'yoyim ad shik murakines, also by day. So an ovel doesn't go to shul normally. Right? The mourner doesn't go to shul, many in his house. Pontishabob, if there's an ovel, yes, he goes by night and by day. Mishael will discuss in greater detail, but Mishael Chorok says, hoylech b'layla b'yisakines, yes, an ovel goes to Siv Zayin, Im Yesh Tinoik Lomul, the opposite, if Baruch Hashem, there's a baby, Lomul is called a bris on Tisha B'Av. Has anybody witnessed a bris on Tisha B'Av? The birth, babies are born off on Tisha B'Av. I don't remember a bris on Tisha B'Av. Anybody witnessed the bris on Tisha B'Av? Bris on Tisha B'Av? I don't remember that. Im Yesh Tinoik Lomul, so what do you do? So that's quite complex. So, Molinois, so you do a bris mila, Acha Shegoimrina Kinois, after completing the Kinois. Why don't you do the drop earlier than that? Why at the end of the kinos? What time do kinos finish? 11. Yeah, so it's like really. Normally, when do you do bris? Normally, you do bris like straight after shachas. You do it early. So why over here do we do it all the way? Sizi makdimin. Do it earlier. Why don't you wait until the end of the kinos? Do it straight after shema. What? Simcha. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sefkot Nechavei. The mitzvah zu oisin oisin Yisrael b'simcha. This mitzvah is well known as the simcha related, the most simcha related mitzvah. Great simcha, yeah. Sason oichalim rasecha. It's Chazal referred to the bismillah as a great enormous simcha. So fine, lochin ein molin b'shas kinois v'esped. Come on, you can't do. It doesn't make sense. You're saying kinois, you're waiting, you're crying, but the destruction of bismillah, you're doing bismillah. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't work. So what we've got to do is you finish the kinnas and then you do the bismillah. All right, we can understand that. V'yesh mamtinin lemuloi adach chatzos. Even some make sure to wait until after chatzos. Top of page 70. Now, umavachin b'yekas hamila b'loi b'samim. You can make the bracha of the mila without using b'samim. Yeah, using b'samim. Which seems to tell us that normally you do psalmim by Bismillah? Anybody does psalmim by Bismillah?
Sugar and cloves and garlic, no?
That's the pinyon? You're referring to the pinyon? Or there is such a meaning by Bris? By Bris, there is such a meaning? I don't know, it could be. Ploy psalmim by Minik is very shona. So, yeah. So, so he says that. So what's the thing with psalmim? The thing with psalmim is that so you would have thought perhaps you're running low in brachas. You don't do a lot of brachas, not the normal amount. You don't have, it's true, Yom Kippur, you're really struggling with brachas. Tisha B'Av, you're also struggling to get to the 100 brachas. So perhaps you would have added a psalmim. You don't have to add psalmim. Don't make a psalmim on Tisha B'Av. So the Mishnah says that you would have thought perhaps because you don't have a koyshel bracha in a conventional sense. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You'd have thought perhaps it makes sense to psalmim. V'ima yoled is metzuyah b'mokem amilo yevorech al hakoyis. Okay, what do we do about the, you know, b'abes milo, obviously, you have a cup of wine. Who's going to drink it? And now, what are you going to do? The tinnah for sure should have a bit. Unfortunately, no, can't have enough to be late to the bracha. Another tinnah. A tinnah. What do you say?
A cotton.
Okay. Cotton.
That's what they do on Friday night in shul, isn't it?
Yep. That's what it is.
Otherwise, it'd be a bracha baratollah, wouldn't it?
Very
otherwise?
Good. You're quite right. Of course, it would be a bracha baratollah. You can't make bracha by a government and then. So what do you do? Says the Shulchan Aruch Hasbulah. What about the mother? The mother of the baby. Is she fasting? She better not. She's not allowed to fast, right? Because it's by definition within 7 days of her birth. So she just gave birth, right? So she's not allowed to fast. She's nursing as well. Nursing might not be so poshut, but definitely within 7 days. Pardon? Oh, yeah, that's right. The 8th day, of course, yeah. So she can have a drink. Very good. If the mother of the baby is around, and you pass it on to the other side of the mechitza. Very nice. Pardon?
Does she make the bracha? Does she need to make the bracha then?
No. The one who makes the brachas, the one who has got the kibbut of making the brachas, he may recite the bracha and she's going to drink. That's okay.
He does not.
Grape juice probably better. Yeah, you're right. Better to have grape juice for her. Yeah, what?
But isn't he saying a bracha b'batol if he says it?
No, because you can't be moitzis somebody else when it comes to mitzvahs. It works. Fetishtim mena yeleda, she can drink. She must hear the bracha, and she may not interrupt between hearing of the bracha and drinking of the wine. So again, Rabbi Isai, the person who makes the bracha says the bracha, no stopping, no interrupting, no waiting, pass the cup to the mother of the baby and she drinks it. Alright, what about Vimeno Sham? What about if she's not there? She's in bed. She's not well. Or she may be still in Beis Bracha. I don't know. She may be... I think we may have mentioned it, that in previous... It was very uncommon that mothers of the baby used to attend to Beis Mila. It's a modern thing now. So what if she's not around? What if the... Kabbalah as well. Kabbalah also. Zaya Kodesh. It's not so posh.
So
what?
You give it to the cotton then, surely.
If she's not there, you make a bracha on the cup, you have to make a bracha on the wine, and you give it to the young children, very good. Now there is a fascinating discussion which we're not going to go into greater detail, and that's the anti-chinuch discussion. You're not allowed to do something. You know, the whole idea of chinuch is, you bring up the kids to do things the right way. Now imagine that. You're not allowed to drink on Tisha B'Av. I'm not allowed to drink on Tisha B'Av. Hey, pre-bar mitzvah. Hey, do you mind to have a go? Now, what kind of chinuch is this? Is he my Shabbos goy or something? What kind of chinuch? He's going to say, hey, if daddy tells me to drink on Tisha B'Av, next year also I'm going to drink on Tisha B'Av. Daddy told me to drink on Tisha B'Av.
But also, Rabbi,
why is that chinuch? Try to explain that to an 8-year-old. It's too long, dish. 8-year-old can understand that. 6-year-old, no.
Rabbi,
he's eating when he. But it's one thing if he eats. But here, the Rav the Shul, pay Hagafen.
But Rabbi,
you know, with a long white beard, do you mind? Yeah, come here and get it. At home, if you're eating, you're hungry, right? You know, it's his kid, he's allowed to eat. But here, front of shul, you're giving him the slacking a bit of.
But Rabbi,
children, right? You understand? I know that. Okay, but do you hear there's a difference? Do you hear or do you not hear? There may be a difference if it's like in a public setting, in a formal setting, that you're asking, is it a problem or not? Lemaisa, of course, you're right. Shulchan Aruch says you are right. Shulchan Aruch says you are right. That's exactly what we've got to do. But there's a very extensive discussion in the Rishonim asking this question. How does that work?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi? A child under the mitzvah, does he have a chiv to say a bracha anyway? Because it's like on Friday night, if the husband says bracha, Goffin gives it to the cotton. But he's saying a bracha, but pre-bar mitzvah, is a boy meant to say a bracha? I know education.
No, you can't be yotze. So what you're asking is, can you be yotze? So I'm saying, when it comes to a mitzvah, when it's a mitzvah, everything which is mitzvah related, such as Haftalah, Kiddush, etc., if a person makes a bracha which is kiddush related, mitzvah related, you can make a bracha, not drink, pass it on to somebody else, and he's going to drink without the bracha. You're moitzi. That's the concept of arvus, which works when it comes to mitzvahs. So I can't generally make a shahakol nibidvoi and then give you a sweet and you have it and I didn't have it. That wouldn't work. But when it comes to the category, the umbrella of mitzvahs, you can be moitzi somebody else.
Here's a chiddush, because in kiddush, they're chayav and is
there
mitzvah as well? So even though,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. They don't have a mitzvah. Right, good point. Good point. Very good. Yeah, good.
The boy doesn't have. The boy doesn't have the mitzvah of something to say a bracha. So, how can it work? He doesn't have to say the bracha technically because he's not the mitzvah.
Correct.
So presumably, right. So how can it work? If somebody says the Bropia Goffin...
Because you can't be moitzi to somebody else. You can't be moitzi to somebody else with a bracha. It works.
Even if somebody has no obligation.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's arvus. Very interesting. It's a good point that you're raising. Okay, Rabbi Issa, we're ready for Siv Ches. But you're right, of course. So you're right, Rabbi Issa. That's the answer. It is still considered... It is correct. It's not destroying the chinuch. Siv Ches, Rabbi Issa. Baal Bris. Okay. Very interesting one. Very interesting. Baal Bris, the one who makes a bris on Tisha B'Av. Loivesh B'kodim Acherim is allowed to change clothes. Ach loy levoni mamesh, but not brand new white clothes. Okay. So the Baal Bris. Person who makes a bris. What else? Ve'avi ha-ben, ve'amoyel, ve'asan, de'kulom nikoyim Baal Bris. So who is allowed to, who is the Baal Bris? Davi Aben, the father of the baby, is allowed to change. The Amoyel, the Moyel, and the Sandik, they're all allowed to change. Kulam Nikoyim Baal Bris. Mutalil Bosh Big the Shabbos. You're allowed to wear Shabbos clothing, Lach Shigom Bua Kinois, after completing the Kinois, Huvoy Lomu Latinoik, Avloil Bishul Levonim. So Abayi say, yes, you're allowed to change clothes. Who is allowed to change? The father of the baby, the Moyel, and the Sandik. What about grandparents? No? No? Grandparents? Grandparents? Grandparents?
Unless they're the Sandik. Yeah?
It's either yes or no. Yeah? Only after kinnis. Yeah, you better be quick. Absolutely. Be well organized. Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like you can't. You're right. No, grandparents can't. Can't change. Sorry.
Should they change?
Yeah. Simcha. Yeah. By the way, after the bris, do they change back into clothes or do they keep ready the Shabbos suit on? What do they do? By the way, Tisha B'Av. Interesting one. So, so that means what? No, Mishnah Berurah says, if gotten Lamed Dalet, La'ach Amila Poshtim Migdem. No, go back into morning's clothes. Now, see if Tess teaches us as follows, Tisha B'Av Shechali is B'Shabbos. What about Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos? Fenitchelem Rishon is pushed to Sunday. Baal Bris Mispal Mincha Be'oy De Yom Godel. Look at that. The Baal Bris Davens Mincha early. V'roi Chetz Ve'enu Mashlim Tanisoy. He doesn't finish the Tanis. He does not finish the Tanis. He breaks his fast. Pushed off, so Tisha B'Av is pushed off to Sunday. Making a bris on Sunday, he breaks his fast after Mincha. What is breaking fast? It's Tisha B'Av. Yeah, it's true. It's Tisha B'Av, but it's also his son's bris. So he's breaking his fast.
Lefi Shayom Tov Shalohu. Lefi, because Shayom Tov Shalohu, it is Yom Tov. It is Yom Tov. Today, you're making a bris, is a Yom Tov. It is Yom Tov. When you're making a bris. Yeah, but he's adopted. Look at that. Now both sides. But look carefully. Who is allowed to break his fast? Who? Who is the Baal Bris? Who is the Baal Bris? Avi Aben. Sandek. Moel. So the father is allowed to break his fast. But also the Sandek is also allowed to break his fast. Sandek allowed to break the fast. Yes. Sandek allowed to break the fast. Sandek Bris. It was pushed off from Shabbos. Pshaim Ezalman, so they say. Pshaim Ezalman was Sandek. Pshaim Ezalman was being, I suppose, the greatest poisik of the generation. He was obviously frequently invited to be the Sandek. Okay. Now, it must be emphasized, they were going back to the 1980s, and it was different than today. You know, there wasn't that. But still. So, Pshaim Ezalman was still frequently invited, not like, you know, Avilashev's last years. I saw it myself, actually, last year. It was every day, 3-4 person. Every day, 3-4 person. It's crazy. But the Pshamazam also, obviously, was often be a Sunday. So what happened was that he was invited on a Tisha B'Av, which was pushed off to Sunday. He was asked to be a Sunday. And guess what? After the bris, Tisha B'Av, pushed off to Sunday bris, Zalman says, can I have a bit of cake? Sandek, he wasn't the father. Can I have a bit of cake? Celebrate. There you go, Rabbi Yisai. Story of Abshalem Zalman eating cake on Tisha B'Av because he was Sandek. Bye, bris.
I don't understand, Rabbi. If it's pushed off to Sunday, why can you because eat it, after the bris?
You're asking an excellent question. You're asking what's the difference between whether it's Sunday or Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, it's still why you push it off, but why can you eat? Presumably after Chatzos. But why can a Sunday to anybody, for that matter? It's still Tisha B'Av.
Yeah, the answer is that it's a bit more lenient. If it's a Tisha B'Av pushed to Sunday, it's a little bit more lenient.
But then you could argue anybody could then say, oh, we can eat then.
No,
surely.
Not everybody's allowed to eat, only Baal Tzimcha. So it's a bit more lenient if it's on Sunday. Rabbi Yisai, I'm going to finish the shiur now. To summarize in 20 seconds, we learned that an ovel goes to shul, kinnas, by night and by day. We learned a baby, the bris mila takes place after the kinnas. Some wait after Chatzos. We learned that after the cup built by our girlfriend, who drinks it?
Kids.
And better yet,
the mother,
if not kids. We learned clothing, you know, to put for the actual bris. The Baal bris, you know, to wear normal clothes, Shabbos clothes for the bris. And we learned also that if it's pushed off to Sunday, you know, the Baal bris sim are allowed to break their fast. I wish you a very good evening.